Welcome back yet again. This is our last summer break re-release of the summer. Today, I'm going to be telling you guys what my favorite story that Stephanie did was throughout the entire season three. And she did a lot of good stories. There were a lot for me to choose from. Obviously, Elvis was a contender, but at this point, you know that we have already done that as a listener favorite. Let's see. Fred Hampton was a really good option that I thought about doing. The business plot was probably this was neck and neck with the story that I ended up choosing. I almost went for the business plot, but ultimately I decided to go with Samuel Upham's Confederate Funny Money. It's just too good of a story. I was howling during this episode. It is so hilarious, and it was something that I had never heard of before, so I really felt like I had learned something in this episode. And probably my favorite thing about this story is that it's really dragging the Confederate South during the Civil War. We need to hear more stories about the North doing the work to drag the Confederacy. We have actively still out here doing their thing. We have the UDC pumping out this lost cause propaganda in 2021 and glorifying and romanticizing the Confederate South when the Confederacy was A, only around for 5 years, B, is a bunch of fucking losers, and C, like, I don't even know. Just also, they suck. So screw them, you know? We've got Hollywood running around making these like sympathetic stories about the Confederate South, making, you know, obviously Gone with the Wind. But even today we have Gone with the Wind being remade every 5 years. There's, you know, there was one a few years back called Cold Mountain. Some like sweet Southern white woman is left to defend herself because the men have to go away to defend their honored society from the big mean North. When in reality, like, screw them, they sucked, and the North was the one that was doing the right thing and is on the right side of history, so why are we not talking about that? Why are we not telling those stories? So my hat goes off to Stephanie for telling a really fun story of an actual, like, real human being who was just doing his thing in the North, doing the work, and dragging the people of the South at the same time in the best way possible. Enjoy!
So yeah, I'm gonna take it away with my story from the Civil War. So in March 1862, Union forces were already blockading the southern ports to prevent the export of cotton. Because okay. They were trying to hit the Confederacy where it hurt.
Sure.
In the bag. So they slowed down the money coming into the South to a trickle, like 10% of what they would normally be shipping was able to get in and out.
Wow.
Yeah.
10%.
10%.
Wow.
So like nothing. So around this same time, a weird ad began running in northern newspapers, an ad that promised perfect facsimiles of Confederate currency. They were marketed as, quote, mementos of the rebellion. And they were meant to be like just rebel souvenirs.
Why though?
Like, I'm going to get to that. So there are all these like testimonials and things from different papers, because it was in most of the big northern papers. They were saying how high quality the images were and how low the cost was. I mean, who doesn't like some discounted money? So my scandal this episode is about Samuel Upham. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Of course you haven't. Oh, I love this story. So he is the man who dunked on the Confederacy from the comfort of his downtown Philadelphia shop. But yeah, first a toast.
A toast. We're
gonna do a toast.
Yes. Raise your punch glass.
Yes. To a war profiteer we can all get down with, because sometimes you have to print money to make money.
Oh, yes.
Your reaction was priceless. I love it.
I can't even take a sip because I'm laughing too hard.
Sometimes you got to print money to make money. Okay, catch up.
Now I'm jealous that your toast is better than mine.
Oh, whatever. Come on. So in late February 1862, this is just a year into the Civil War, Upham, he noticed that copies of the Philadelphia Inquirer were just like flying off the shelves of his shop. He had a shop that sold, it was just a little storefront. It sold like perfumes and pharmacy items, but mostly paper products.
Okay.
So like stationery, envelopes, stamps, things like that, but also the paper. So it was the morning time and he was almost sold out. So he's just like, what the fuck is going on? So he finally stopped a customer and he asked like, hey, what's the deal? And the customer just pointed to the cover of the newspaper, which showed a really detailed copy of a $5 Confederate note.
Okay.
So the people of Philadelphia, this was the first time that they saw like rebel currency and they're just like, oh my God, it's the grayback. So the Union had greenbacks, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
The Confederacy had graybacks.
Sure.
So they were just like a buzz because it was kind of like a novelty, like, oh my God. Like they had heard that they had money, but you know, it's the first time that they're seeing it.
It was a novelty that it was just different from their currency and like how cute that they have different money from
basically,
us.
Yeah. Basically, it was definitely like a cute factor.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at them. They're trying.
They have... think they're a government.
Right? Yes. Yes. So it was a really detailed copy. So when Upham looked at it, all he saw was like an opportunity. I'm going to talk a little bit about just Confederate notes in general because I think it's really interesting and kind of fun. So when the Southern states seceded, there was a massive money crunch. Because most of their wealth, as we all know, was in people.
Yeah.
But the few people who did have currency, people who had like gold and silver coins, they were just hoarding it.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, okay, I have something of real value. Like, no, 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 I'm not giving this to anyone. In order to set up like an independent economy that had a free flow of currency, like banknotes, dollar bills, dollar bills, y'all, the Confederacy, they needed paper money. So they ordered a run of banknotes from the National Banknote Company located in New York City. These notes were of high value, and this was before the war kind of kicked off.
I was going to say, like, how is that not treason for this?
I'm gonna get into that. But this first run was of super high value. It's being made by professional engravers on copper plates, like stunning, like looks professional, like chef's kiss, like amazing, perfect, perfection. So these bills, they hit circulation in April 1861. So this is when the Confederacy, it was before they seceded that they ran these bills. So when they hit circulation, it was in April. So it was 2 months after the war had started.
That's so weird to me that like people knew that the Southern states were printing their own money and nobody thought like,
I guess the price was right. And like they printed a large run that hit circulation 2 months into the war.
Yeah. Okay.
So things hadn't really like started yet, but they were kind of getting going. So 2 months later in June, they ran out of money just in 2 months.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, can you print us some more? And all the New York printing companies were just like, no, no, no. Like, y'all's are rebels and like, we don't want to go to jail. Like, fuck y'all. Like, I don't want to do crime with you.
And also go fuck yourself. You're at war with us.
Yeah.
Like,
have you seen HBO's True Detective?
No.
Oh, the first season is really good. It has Matthew McConaughey, who I actually hate, but he has this really iconic line. He says, I don't have the constitution for jail, which is like, duh, me too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when truth hits you, like, I'm like, I too don't have the constitution for jail. So yeah, these Northern money makers were just like, no, 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 don't look at us. We don't know you. We don't know you, girl. So the South, they had to make their own banknotes. So the second run was a black lithograph. Do you know what a lithograph is?
I've heard of it, but not officially.
Yeah, it's like it's a press that uses the properties of oil and water and ink.
Ah,
it like creates like almost a relief that's pressed into paper.
Okay.
It's really, really pretty in there.
Yeah.
You've seen lithographs.
Yeah,
they're still around.
Yeah.
So their second run wasn't like super fancy. It was just a lithograph.
That's still fancy to me.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing like silk screened money.
Yes. So this, it was on white paper and like the ink would kind of rub off in your hands the more you handled it.
Sure.
So that's how they got the name grayback. Because it would kind of turn your hands gray when you the more you handled it.
Okay.
And it just became muddled and gray.
Ooh.
Well, it was during a war and all of the good people making, you know, money were in the North.
Yeah, yeah,
so, you know, they were doing it on the fly. They were using what they had.
Sure.
This was how they kept their economy afloat. But the grayback, unlike the greenback, was not backed by any hard currency.
Sure, yeah.
It was backed on a promise,
yeah.
Basically. They did something similar during the Revolutionary War.
Uh-huh.
There was a note on it that said 6 months after the ratification of a treaty of peace between the Confederate States and the United States, the Confederate States of America will pay like whatever the amount of the bill, let's say it's a $5 bill, to mm-hmm. the bearer. Like it was an IOU, sure. basically.
Okay, like a bond almost.
Yes, yeah. exactly, like a bond. So there was a lot of different designs because every state was producing their own, and as
oh.
yeah, it was actually the designs were really beautiful,
yeah.
really colorful. A lot of the earlier bills had mythological gods and goddesses,
huh.
and there's this one really beautiful artwork of this like woman who's like naked riding a deer.
Wow.
And it's like, you guys were down with like multiple gods huh. back then?
Okay. I never really looked into this. I've heard of people collecting Confederate money, and I
yes,
always just thought like...
gorgeous.
I always just thought like, oh, like you're the same as the kind of people that collect like Nazi memorabilia. I never really thought of it as like, there's actually
yeah.
like a reason to collect this.
It's artistic.
Wow. Okay.
Like the earlier stuff, definitely. As things went on, it became a little bit more mundane. There was mostly like ships, like naval ships or...
sure.
Historical figures like George Washington was on some of their money.
Okay. Just sturdy like, white men.
Yes, sturdy white men. However, there were bills that had happily working
uh-huh.
enslaved Africans. You know, just work in the field happily
yes.
as they do.
That's just how they are.
Yeah, this was back when we didn't have a problem with black people
yeah.
in currency.
I know. This is before Obama started
yes.
the whole problem.
Before Obama invented racism.
Yes.
Okay.
yeah. So this is before the Lost Cause officially even started, and it
oh,
was
yeah.
already starting.
Yes. So back to Upham. So the day that this paper hit, he ran to the Inquirer's office and he bought the banknote plate. And he printed that same
wow.
day 3,000 copies on French letter paper of the $5 bill. And these bills sold like hotcakes. They were gone in a month. And as a form of insurance against any fraud claims, on the bottom of each bill, he included this like very thin strip that read in small print, facsimile Confederate note. And
huh.
it had his name and address on it.
Okay.
Because the real thing was very easily duplicated because they were just using a lithograph. Upham knew that many unscrupulous sorts might just take it upon themselves to use this as actual currency.
But you couldn't use Confederate currency in the North, could you?
No. So, yeah, he had this disclaimer because he didn't want to go to jail, highlighting that this money was bogus, but it was designed in a way to be easily clipped off.
Uh-huh.
So, once clipped by accident, of course.
Yes,
you could use
exactly.
it as a, it was a near perfect counterfeit.
Wow.
Yeah. So, after his first grayback print run, Upham rapidly expanded his inventory. He took out ads in newspapers promising to pay gold for more specimens of Southern money. He
wow.
just wanted, like, hey, if you have a $10 bill, like,
sure,
I'll
yeah.
pay you X amount of gold for it. Like, I need it. 5 cents bought you one Confederate dollar. $2 bought you 100. $15 bought you 1,000 Confederate dollars.
Wow.
I mean, you could like buy your own stimmy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If you wanted to like ride down to South Carolina and be like, I'm rich, bitch.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to get to that.
Yeah.
Some
okay.
people did.
Wow.
Some people did. So,
sorry. Damn. Yeah.
So there's a lot of different historians saying like, oh, he didn't mean to do this. Like he just wanted to create memorabilia, kind of tchotchke like things. He sincerely perhaps thought that these reproductions were just like harmless souvenirs.
But who would need like 1,000 bills if you didn't plan
exactly.
to use them for
yeah.
something?
So before he was making these Confederate bills, he had this commemorative. He had a lot of like patriotic items that were kind of aimed at the South.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had this card that showed Jefferson Davis
mm-hmm.
when you hold it one way, but when you turn it the other way, it's a picture of a jackass.
Amazing.
He made a meme before memes, before Twitter.
I love it. Yes.
It's so good. I'm going to put it in the show notes. It's like really detailed and it's phenomenal. I'm going to
wow.
show you after. So in early 1862, many Northerners, they believed that the war was going to be so quick.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to be quickly crushed. So they wanted to buy these like kind of fun souvenirs
sure.
like while they had them. So by the time Upham started buying ads, his like patriotic tchotchke business had really taken off like from a little storefront thing to this whole like wholesaling enterprise.
Wow.
And like you said, no one needs thousands of dollars of fake money. Clearly these people aren't just buying it to like frame and put in their house.
It's that convincing. Like, sure, you're going to fucking go to fucking North Carolina and be like, where's the nearest Target? Yeah. I got shit to buy.
Exactly. His whole thing was like, what he was doing was not illegal because he did have this disclaimer and it clearly said his name and had his address. But like, it wasn't his fault if people cut it off and leaving just a perfectly serviceable bank note. Yeah. Like,
but even freedom. If it were, it's an enemy nation. Who's going to sue him?
Exactly.
Well, hello there. Do you wish your high school history course had more drinking, more swearing, and more ladies?
Well, do we have the show for you. Her Story on the Rocks is a long-form podcast talking about good women, bad women, fictional women, and non-fictional women from all times and places.
Basically, each week we pair two women who we research with a themed signature cocktail.
You won't be sorry you listened to our latest episode.
Available everywhere you listen to podcasts.
Cheers! Cheers.
By April, Upham's fakes began appearing in Richmond, Virginia, which I don't know if you knew was the capital of the Confederacy.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
So they were not a little mad. They were big mad.
Sure.
Like, they were so upset. This is where their treasury department was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these phony bills come rolling up into their area and they're just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So they warned the Richmond Daily Dispatch, which was the biggest newspaper in Richmond, to just let the public know that, hey, there's a lot of fake money out here. Like, be careful. So this is a quote from their dispatch. It says, this note is well calculated to deceive, and in nearly every particular is a facsimile of the original. They called these fakes Yankee scoundrelism. Mm-hmm. Examples of Yankee scoundrelism. I'm like, I fucking love that term. The paper later found one of Upham's banknotes with his name and address still attached.
Oh. Ooh,
this is when shit hits the fan. This is a quote. Who is this man Upham? A knave swindler and forger of the most depraved and despicable sort. In an ad published in May, he claimed to have sold already at this point a half a million banknotes.
So he fucked up by what he was doing to try and protect himself. He fucked up.
Yes. He now had 14 different varieties of Confederate currency. Get this. Woo. This motherfucker started taking mail orders.
Like, sure, I can ship this to Georgia.
Doing crime via post. Like, yes. Bold shit. Like, wild. So for 50 cents plus 18 cents in postage, customers throughout the Union could have 100 of Upham's notes delivered to their doorstep. The biggest sellers was, of course, $100 bills because they cost no more than a $1 or $5 bill. It's all the same paper.
Oh.
Yes. So people are buying a lot of money. And this is when he knew the whole time, but he started referring to his inventory as paper bullets.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised the government didn't be like, look what this dude is doing. We're going to do this too.
The government is coming into the story very, very soon. So, you know, the South is fucking pissed.
Yeah.
They were convinced that Upham was part of a government plot to devalue the Confederate dollar.
I mean, what a great way to attack your enemy during war.
And they pointed to the fact that he was doing it so boldly in the open, like sending it via post. Like, obviously the government
putting
knows.
Putting it in the newspaper. Yeah, this is...
Putting it in the newspaper. Like,
he's not even trying to hide it.
No.
And literally devaluing an enemy nation's currency.
Yep. They are convinced that he'd been given permission by the government or even support in his campaign to tank their economy. Because that's what he was doing. Union troops spent counterfeit cash everywhere they went. So they were in the North. They bought all this shit and then they moved south.
Oh.
So according to a Virginia paper, they said that the fact that like all of these troops are just spending all this fake money, that this proved a, quote, deep laid scheme on the part of the thieving, counterfeiting North to undermine the Confederate currency.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Amazing. So in the summer of 1862, Upham's notes had taken over the market of Northern Virginia. There's more Confederate dollars than real dollars in Northern Virginia.
Wow.
Yes. So brought by the Union forces, because they were marching south from Washington. So a Southern journalist observed that Union soldiers were just buying everything.
Of course.
Some of them bought horses. Some of them, you know, but also regular mundane things like sugar and tobacco. And they were getting real money for change.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that.
Yes, right? So
yes,
good.
Of course.
So the Dispatch, the paper in Richmond, is just like going off. They said that the counterfeits appeared wherever the execrable Yankee soldiers polluted the soil with his cloven foot. So these bills traveled as far south as New Orleans and as far west as Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah, all over. Carried by Union soldiers who used them to purchase supplies. Almost exclusively used them to just buy shit.
Sure. Why would you use your own money when you could buy money?
When you could buy money in large quantities.
For nothing.
For nothing. For nothing and have and get stuff.
Pennies on the dollar and then go fucking.
However, some of the biggest customers were Southerners who secretly came up and ordered fake money.
Of course.
And then went back down south of the Mason-Dixon.
That's not surprising in any way. I would do the same if I were in the South.
There were a lot of smugglers, too, who were paid by the businesses in New York and bigger centers that was making clothing. They hired smugglers to go down there, buy cotton and fake money, and come back with their cotton because there was that blockade.
Sure.
Yeah. It wasn't hidden.
Yeah,
This was not like a secret plot. Eventually, President Davis, he put a $10,000 bounty on Upham's head.
Wow.
Because dude, again, had his name and address. He was not being slick at all. He threatened to hang all counterfeiters if caught. So the bounty is what flagged it with the U.S. government. Because I guess they were too busy fighting the war
to
really even notice that, like, hey, there's a dude in Philly who's just, like, making money and sending it all over the country. So federal investigators showed up at his door because, again, he had his name and address on these bills. Mm-hmm. It was no secret. And yeah, as fractured as the nation was, the U.S. government could not turn a blind eye to someone who is printing their own money and sending it everywhere. Their biggest issue was they were afraid that the South would retaliate, thinking that Upham was working for them and like start making greenbacks and like flooding our market with like fake currency. But also they were worried that, okay, he's making Southern currency. Is he making Northern currency too? Yeah, like, is that what he's doing and shipping this stuff all over the place? So they showed up, they asked him questions, and, you know, Upham had answers. I feel like he was probably rehearsing this whole time.
Like, I'm not printing.
So when they heard that he wasn't making Union money, they're like, okay. But what he was doing was still kind of on the line. Like, it was fraudulent, what he was doing. So they kicked his case up to the Secretary of War, Edwin Stanton.
I love Edwin Stanton.
Right? He's great. So according to him, he was fucking cool with it. He's like, he hasn't broken any law. The Confederacy is by definition illegal. So fuck him.
Exactly.
So some historians, I don't know, there's a bit of debate. After this meeting of Stanton and Upham, some say that Stanton gave him like material support after this. I read it in some articles, but then not in others. But by that summer, like after this meeting, his counterfeits were better quality. Mm-hmm. So some people said that Stanton had given him official banknote paper that was seized by the Union.
Amazing.
Right?
So, good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. So he continued forging these Confederate, like, funny money until August of that year, until he was no longer making money. Uh-huh. Because, like you said, the value of the Confederate dollar was nothing.
Yeah.
It had fallen so low that even smugglers weren't fucking with it.
Sure.
Like, the war had progressed to a point where everyone knew the South was going to lose. So it's just like, why am I even...
Why bother?
Why bother with this money that no one's taking right now?
Yeah.
Within 18 months, he had dropped... The value, I mean, not just him, but like the value of the Confederate dollar had dropped 90%.
What an American hero.
Thank you. That's what I said. A counterfeiter we all can get down with.
Yes.
So a pound of tea in Virginia costs $35, which in today's money is $1,600. Oh. A barrel of flour back then was $1,000 because of the crazy inflation, which is $32,000 for flour. Like, that's how low...
Their currency was just worth nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Amazing.
Worse than nothing. I mean, it wasn't just Upham who, you know, collapsed their economy. There was a lot of mismanagement of Southern funds.
Sure.
There was lots. It's because every state was printing their own money and there was just runaway inflation.
Sure.
But Upham's impact was significant.
Oh, he made,
it was later estimated that he had produced $15 million worth of Confederate bills. And if all of that ended up in the South, it would have been 3% of the total money supply.
Wow.
So a Mississippi senator said at the time that Upham had done more to damage the Confederacy than the Union Army. Right?
I love this story.
So when Upham died, he died in 1885. He was only 66. He left like a lot to his estate because, you know, he had been making that money. So a few decades later in 1893, Harper's Encyclopedia, like the famous encyclopedia, they published a picture of a genuine Confederate note. It was Upham's. That's how ubiquitous they were. They were everywhere.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's how good they were. Nowadays, there's still a market for Confederate currency, but I like to think that there's some like rich racist asshole like buying a fake.
In things, yeah.
Yeah, the end.
I would rather buy one of Upham's
right?
than the real thing.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want the fake that's like beautiful, but also, you know, was like helping take down the Confederacy.
Yep.
Now I'm like, can I go on YouTube? Can I go on eBay and buy an Upham dollar?
I don't know. Probably.
Wow.
Yeah. Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.